We've been reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 of Paul giving thanks for the Christians in Thessalonica because he knows that the word of God in the gospel has come to them in power, in the Holy Spirit, with much assurance. Now, of course, the gospel did not drop by parachute from heaven to the Thessalonians. No, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were preachers who took the gospel to the Thessalonians. And before they arrived in Thessalonica, indeed, there was no church there. But after they had preached and spread the word of God, the church was planted, it had taken root, and that planting and growth of a church was the direct result of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we read this morning in verse 5, when Paul gives thanks to the Thessalonians, he's saying, "Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Now you notice the gospel did come to them in word. It did not come in word only, but it did come to them with words. Paul, Silas, and Timothy communicated the message they had received from God with words. And you can read in Acts chapter 17 about the way in which this church in Thessalonica was planted. Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, to the people in the synagogue in Thessalonica, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ, the Messiah, had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So when Paul and his companions went to Thessalonica, they didn't just engage in social action. They didn't only live out a good life before the people, although they did live out a life that linked in with the message they were preaching. They didn't just come to Thessalonica with a humanitarian concern. No, they came to Thessalonica with the gospel. And as we seek to reach out to children, to young people, to men and women around us here with the gospel, we need to go to men and women with words. It's one of the reasons that we've produced this Christmas leaflet. And I'm hoping that some of you over the next few weeks will take some of these and use them to speak to neighbours, to colleagues in work, to friends, and to get people to start to think about why Jesus Christ came into the world. The greatest pronouncement the world has ever heard, and to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Well, they came to Thessalonica with words, but then they came not in word only, but in power. Blind eyes, deaf ears, do not appreciate the gospel. There must be an internal working of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that penetrates a person's mind and heart and conscience and will with the word of God and makes it effective. So we must never divorce what God has joined together, his word and his spirit. The word of God is the spirit's sword. The spirit without the word is weaponless. The word without the spirit is powerless. They came then with words, but they came with words and there was the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great needs, it seems to me, for the Church of Jesus Christ in our day, to pray for this power of the Holy Spirit in our preaching, in our evangelism, in our witness. It's one of the things I'm very concerned about, that when we meet together on a Thursday night, the numbers are few. There are few who come to cry out to God for this power of the Holy Spirit. This is a desperate need. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. In much assurance, in other words, as Paul preached the word to the Thessalonians, the people felt a full, deep, personal conviction. Interesting that Chris, in his description of how he became a Christian, even as an eight-year-old, felt something of this conviction, he said, this sense of need, of sinfulness before God, and a need for a saviour then. So Paul didn't come to the Thessalonians and primarily convince them with the mastery of his words. It wasn't the force of his argument. And it certainly was not emotional manipulation where he brought them to a temporary high. No, they had first-hand dealings with God. As Paul preached, they sensed and knew that God was alive. There's a real God, a God who lives. And as Paul spoke to them about this God who's holy and righteous and just, they felt a deep personal conviction. They felt, how can we meet this God? How can we be saved? How can we know God? How can our sins be forgiven? The word came to them with much assurance and in the Holy Spirit. Now it seems to me that powerful truth of the word, the conviction it produces, the impact it has on a person's life, that all comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who illuminates your mind. You understand. He gives you an inward witness of the truth. You believe. He carries that word home to your heart with power. And you feel convicted. And you respond to it. And you seek a saviour, Jesus Christ, in faith. And what was the result? Well, in verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord. You received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, you became examples to all. Verse 8, from you the word of God sounded forth. Verse 9, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, you wait for Jesus, God's Son, who one day is coming from heaven. So I'm saying to you this morning, has the gospel come to you in that way? Not just with words. Not just with words that have stirred up anger or rebellion in your heart. Not just ideas strung together. Jesus and sin and being born again and cleansing, heaven and hell. But just words, religious mumbo jumbo, words. Has the gospel